You're listening to a special online edition of The Arts Report. In this clip, you'll hear author Alex MacLeod talking about his acclaimed debut collection of short stories called Light Lifting. We started by talking about geography and a sense of place, in particular the relationship between Windsor, Ontario, where most of the stories in Light Lifting are set, and Detroit, Michigan, directly across the river. I described Detroit as a dead city, to which he replied,
"Well, I never see it that way. Like, I think of Detroit as the true, as a kind of the true American city, because if the real history of America flows through Detroit, the history of major capitalism, the history of Fordism or the assembly line, race history, everything flows through that city. So I think that Detroit is actually a much more realistic portrayal of certain forces that are at work in American and in the book, I'm trying to say also Canadian life, like the nature of work and the nature of how money is generated and things like that. So Windsor is actually amazing. People forget this, but Windsor maybe can only be compared to the Okanagan, I guess, where Essex County, that little fertile crescent down there around Pelee Island, where the Pelee Island wines come from, is actually the most fertile ground in the country.
Is that right?
Because of the climate. Mm-hmm. So Heinz grows all their tomatoes there, and there's this massive green pepper and agricultural industry all in Essex County. So the kind of richest agricultural sections of the country are there in southwestern Ontario, even richer than the vineyards up here. And they're like less than 5 minutes from the most industrialized part of Canada.
Wow.
So the fact that GM and Chrysler and Ford exist beside all that corn and beside National Park, it's as if kind of right beside Banff you had someone making something really industrial like graders or something. So right. if you had pure industry and pure nature sort of living side by side, you'd have some idea of what it's like in Essex County and Windsor.
So I guess I take it then that it makes a good place to set fiction.
Contrasts are always good for fiction. Contrasts and moving across borders is always good for fiction. So we have the busiest border in the country, and we have those kind of divisions. It's a very divided place.
Now, your writing has been described as brash, merciless, harsh.
Yeah.
Man, it almost makes it seem like reading it would be like sadomasochistic experience by some of the reviews. But I gather it isn't, because obviously a lot of people are reading it and enjoying it. What's your take on those kinds of descriptions?
I think those are more comments on reading practice than they actually are on my writing. I think that I don't think that the writing is very harsh, really. It just sometimes I always find that sort of startling that people would think. I think people think that if you just have a story that's about working in a factory, then it must be harsh.
Okay.
But the character in that story who describes the factory, he does not describe the factory as harsh. He describes the factory as kind of beautiful. He sees that sort of setting as being almost artistic, the way that a car is designed. So when he's looking at the way that the line functions, he sees it almost as an intellectual projection, like somebody designed it. So he feels the design elements of the Dodge Caravan. And in other ways, there's lots of kind of brutality, I think, in the stories, but most of it is not, I'm not trying to address outward violence, I'm just kind of interested in notions of fragility. You know, things are just not certain. They're just not certain.
Mm-hmm.
And so that sort of tenuousness sometimes gets seen as if it's violence or it's force on force. But more, it's more, I see it more as fragility, I think.
Right, and maybe just a tension rather than pain.
yeah. Well, sometimes they do this all the time in filmmaking. The idea of an oncoming pain is sometimes more terrifying than the pain itself. So I think that there's sometimes something to do with tone in there. Maybe that's what people are seeing.
Okay. Now, in terms of your subject matter, the lightlifting goes all over the map, from running to a family dealing with head lice to street hockey, swimming lessons, you name it. So I'm just kind of curious, what do you look for in subject matter? Are you sort of always just writing about a million different things and just sort of curating and compiling when it comes down to it? Or maybe, you know, do certain things really lend themselves well as a sort of lightning rod to discuss a variety of issues? Or, you know, tell me a bit about that.
Well, those examples you've chosen, they're all connected to stories which I think are about decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So the stories are all focused on moments when something stops being one way and it starts being another way.
Right.
So the swimming lesson story, everyone kind of knows this. There's a moment when you can't swim and a moment when you can swim. And they are not instantaneously separated, but when you can swim, you can sort of save your life, and when you can't swim, you're going to drown. So I did see that as literally a life-changing moment, a decision, a kind of moment when things are different. And the parents in the story, there's a moment when they're just a couple of college university kids hooking up on a kind of perhaps meaningless one night bar stand, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But then when they are the parents of these kids and the kids are sick, the couple looks at each other differently. They say, are you still the girl from the bar? Are you still the guy from the bar? So that question comes up, and the runners, of course, are all interested in significant moments because they're saying, well, if I ever run 3:36 and I make the Olympic team, that's going to be very different than running 3:37 and not making it.
Mm.
And so differences of a second can take on those sort of cosmic significances. So when I write, I try to find those dramatic moments of tension, and I try to mine them as best I can.
Hmm. Let me ask you, this is a debut collection, and you've sort of been thrust into the limelight very quickly, and I wonder if you have any advice for aspiring writers who wish they had that same kind of launch, especially, you know, nowadays in a moment where, you know, you could argue everything's very fragmented between the internet and, you know, video games and 100 different ways of sort of reaching people in terms of for their attention, right, and for entertainment, for leisure. What would you say?
I'm just thinking of the way we had such a hard time hooking up, you and I, because I don't do Facebook and I don't tweet and I don't have a cell phone.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't even participate in most of the mass communication mechanisms that are out there, and it took me a long, long time to write these stories. So
mm-hmm.
my advice to writers is care about what you're doing. The only person you need to care about is how you feel about this story, and take as long as you need. But when you let it go, when you let your story go, you should sort of feel like, I am done with this sucker. And if you gave me 2 more weeks to work on it, I still wouldn't change a thing. I am done. So I think that what happened in my case was I sat around with those stories for such a long time that by the time they were ready to go out into the world, by the time I was willing to show them to other people, I had already been pretty hard on them myself.
Mm.
So I was either ready for the scrap. If the scrap was to come, if there was going to be a fight about them, I was ready to fight that fight on my own terms, because I was pretty clear on what they were, and if they were liked, that was great too. So it was really intense transition for me from being such a private thing, because say those stories you're talking about, I can't even believe you know them or you've talked about them, because they've been sitting with me for 10 years.
Yeah, how do you know about those
right.
things?
Right, and now they're on the radio.
Right.
So that's such a crazy thing. That's what publication is, it becomes public. And when that happens, it's a weird transition.
Right. Well, thank you for sharing those with the world, and
yeah.
We look forward to the readings tonight at VPL, and I'm glad we finally did get connected.
Yeah. Yeah, there it is, the magic of telecommunications.
Sometimes it works.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.
Take care.
Bye. Bye.